Well, if you didn't pick that up very early in the piece, that was the South African national anthem. I think it's the only anthem in the world that is comprises five languages, with a bit of English thrown in at the end there. And the reason we play that is because Veronica Matheson, our reporter, was in Cape Town recently waiting for the departure of a tourist bus. And you'll actually hear the bus revving up in the background of her interview. And she chats to a local historian, Jeremy Knowles, about changes in his country and his own memory of the day in 1990 when Nelson Mandela was released after 27 years of imprisonment. 4 years later, of course, Mandela became the first black president of South Africa.
Jeremy, tourism seems to be a major driver in South Africa at the moment.
Absolutely huge. South Africa's become a flavour, a huge international flavour. I think icons like Nelson Mandela, people want to come and see the place that produced this man and this miracle. And then, of course, 2010, the Soccer World Cup. I think really, going back to your initial point, that's where tourism really took off. And Cape Town's now one of the most visited tourist cities in the world.
It is a beautiful city, though, isn't
absolutely
it?
Absolutely magnificent. But of course, it's not Africa. Of course, it's not even real South Africa in the sense that it's actually a piece of Europe tagged onto the tip of the continent.
Because of?
It's weather, it's climate, it's vegetation, it's pretty much everything is European rather than African. When one gets up into the bush proper, Thorny Bush and Kruger, then the real Africa.
The amazing setting, though, Table Mount, that is extraordinary, isn't it?
Certainly one of the most magnificent cities in the world in terms of its setting, its background, what surrounds it, the sea, the wine, the magnificent mountains.
Everybody wants to go up Table Mountain, but I gather you can't go up there every day.
No, not that often. It's sort of one in 3 days or so. It's often affected by wind and adverse weather on the top.
And what about the cloth?
Tablecloth. You've heard of the tablecloth.
I've heard of the tablecloth.
Yeah, it's a sort of a summer phenomenon in Cape Town when the southeaster pops cloud up from behind the mountain and it hangs on the top. And it looks like a tablecloth, and it's magnificent.
Now you've got the waterfront too, the Victoria and Alfred
waterfront.
Waterfront, yeah.
One of the most remarkable waterfront developments in the world, and yeah, it's actually the number one tourist attraction in the country. It has the most visitors per year of South African tourist facility.
Wow.
Even the Kruger National Park. So
that's amazing.
Yeah, it's one of our jewels here in Cape Town. Restaurants and busking and hanging around outside and watching the world go by. And, of course, drinking a glass of awesome South African wine.
Yeah, the South African wine now has really got a worldwide reputation. And yet it started from very humble beginnings.
Correct. Going right back to the 1650s under the Dutch. Today, eighth biggest producer in the world and our reds, our whites are all out there among the best. And of course, if you come to South Africa, you have to have a Pinotage.
Tell me about that.
Okay, this is a South African creation, as in they took two existing grape varietals, Pinot Noir and Hermitage, cross-pollinated, and a whole new grape type came out of it, which was bottled for the first time in South Africa in 65. And it's now our quintessential wine. It's a red, it's a medium-bodied, and even Australia, I think, is now starting.
We are just starting. So what else? Shiraz, Syrah, grapes.
Correct.
Are very big. So red is the top.
We're more of a red-producing country than white, but outstanding the grape at the moment, Chenin, Chenin Blanc.
How did winemaking start in South Africa? It was accidental,
really,
wasn't it?
Really odd, yeah. The Dutch were looking to provide medicine, if you like, for their sailors on the trip from Holland to the Far East, to the Dutch East Indies, and they felt that by taking wine on board in Cape Town, they'd be able to protect the sailors against vitamin C deficiency, i.e. scurvy in those days. And so really it was meant just to be medicine. Initially, and I'm sure at that stage tasted
like medicine,
like that. And over time, we had an injection of French knowledge into our industry in the late 1600s. A whole bunch of Huguenots from France came out this way. And
they should know a little bit about it.
Put us on the right track, yes, and a world producer today. Mm.
So Stellenbosch, where are the other wine regions?
Gosh, Stellenbosch would be the
bigger
classic
one.
Heartland.
Yeah.
Paarl and Franschhoek.
Mm-hmm.
They form a sort of triangle, the historical triangle. And then, of course, the oldest wine-producing area, Constantia, which is right up against the city, against the back side of Table Mountain, and ridiculously easily accessible from the city. You can be on the beach in the morning at Table Mountain at lunchtime and
drinking wine
in Constantia mid-afternoon.
Sounds so civilised.
It's pretty damn civilised.
Yeah. If you don't mind me talking about apartheid, now I know that for you there is a special memory of Nelson Mandela. Tell me about it.
On the 2nd of February 1990, momentous day in our history, the last of the apartheid presidents of the country, F.W. de Klerk, announced in Parliament revolutionary changes. All the previously banned organizations would be unbanned from the next day. All the political prisoners would be released. All the political exiles would be allowed to return. And the government committed itself to negotiating us out of the abyss that we'd got into. On the 11th of February, the most famous of all of our political prisoners, Nelson Mandela, was due to be released from prison. And I happened to be part of a crowd of 100,000 people outside the City Hall in Cape Town waiting for him to arrive. It was goose flesh inducing stuff. And I don't recall a word he said. It was the emotion of the day, and it was a realization that at last we'd moved out of the darkness and we're moving towards the light.
And how is the progress?
Look, we're a kid still, hey? We're 23 years old. We have had some bumps on the way. Of course we have. And the country has huge problems, unemployment, crime. Sadly, at the moment, corruption.
Will that change?
Strongly believe it's on the cusp of changing right now. Civic society in South Africa is strong. The courts are extremely respected and powerful. Mm. The press is free.
Yeah.
And I believe that within the ruling African National Congress, the wheels are turning. I think 2019 is going to be a significant year in South Africa. That's the next national election. I suspect that the ANC's majority is going to diminish significantly.
Yes.
And we're moving towards becoming a real democracy. That's healthy.
It hasn't put tourists off coming here, has it?
Not at all.
What do we do? We see the Big Five, we go to the safari park, then we discover that there's lots more to South Africa.
It's a miracle.
You're from here.
I'm Cape Town born and proudly South African, and I don't think you guys realise quite how close we came to cataclysm here in the late 80s, as in full-blown civil strife and absolute collapse. And that we are where we are today, is, I believe, miraculous. People should come and see us.
I think they are already. I know I came here on a plane and it was full. Jeremy, thank you very, very much for your time.
That was Veronica Matheson in Cape Town with Jeremy Knowles, a local guide for Australian tour companies Scenic and Evergreen.